Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to recap the game against the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, that was a complete ass-whooping. There's nothing easy to say about that. I just really hope that this is something that we can take a lesson with and move on. There's a couple different players that we're definitely going to highlight. And we're also going to take a look at the schedule and down the road and our prediction of who we think or how many more wins we think it's going to take to get into that 10 slot. We'll see if this team has what it takes, but we're going to dissect exactly what's going on.
Yeah, we told you before the last game, before this game, that these two games are going to be really tough. Obviously, they were tougher than, you know, we kind of anticipated with the final scores being, you know, 40 about, you know, for the first game and then over 40 for this game. So we're sitting here in a spot where, you know, these young players are getting great opportunities and they're learning. And we want to share with you what we've watched them doing well, even though the games haven't really been that close. They're still getting better, so we want to share that with you. So thank you so much for joining us for The Last Storm. Here we go.
All right, Mark. You know, that's just one of those games where it's going to be as difficult to talk about as it was to watch, as I'm sure the players were uncomfortable to play, as the coaches were uncomfortable to watch, and vice versa. I'm sure the Trailblazers felt our pain because they've been blown out like that by, you know, 40 plus points recently. So to me, this is one of those things where it's an unfortunate thing where our shots weren't going in, and there's nothing that we can do except for break down exactly what we think we can work down and work to get better. And I just, you know, I'm excited about this team, and I feel like this is a really good learning experience. These last two games, they're not easy to watch, but young teams that are learning how to play with inside the NBA, it's difficult. And these guys are all maxing out their minutes right now. Everybody is playing more minutes than they ever have in the NBA on this team. So we have to look at that, and we have to recognize how tired these guys are, truly tired.
Yeah, I was impressed with our group, even though they didn't really put up a fight at first. They were able to scrap their way back into it to bring it to 9. That was in the second quarter, and I liked seeing that effort. By the time the third quarter was going, though, that thing was pretty much over, and there really wasn't anything like a second push in this team. You got to respect what the Blazers do. I mean, they are professionals, and they went out and they handled business. I think the unique thing is both the Suns and the Blazers we've beat this year, so they came in and they wanted to prove a point. And we pretty much had nobody on the teams playing who beat them earlier in this year. So they came out pumped up and they gave us a butt whooping, and a lot of the players weren't the ones who whooped them last time. But in the end, that's how it goes sometimes. I definitely think it shows that the Suns and the Trailblazers wanted to beat us by a significant margin to make a point about the other games not being representative of where the teams were at. So you got to be like, hey, you know, they went out there and they played hard. They wanted to show that they were, you know, getting ready for the playoffs. And we need to absorb these lessons. Like, we need to recognize that these players are getting these opportunities to play against starters, legitimate superstars, players who have made a living playing at a very high level. And when you get an opportunity like this, you want to make the most of it. And sometimes, you know, the score won't be close, but you can still earn a lot from competing. And I noticed that we did that tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And this is something that it's we have to circle and we have to watch individual play at this moment. Break down individual film, because right now it's really hard to absorb exactly where this team is going. Mark and I have been definitely discussing exactly where we see this team going to end up at the end of the season. And especially because they expanded the playoffs to a 10 team play-in, you know, we have to look at a lot of these other teams and start recognizing how many games they can win, how many are winnable for games for them, and vice versa. And we started breaking down all that stuff. Definitely going to, you know, get into that and really get into what we think the magic number is to get into that play-in 10. And then anything could happen after that, as we have seen in the past with, you know, teams in the MLB and different things like that that are the wild cards in the NFL and stuff like that. All you got to do is just be able to sit back and absorb what's going to happen here. And we're excited about this team. But let's go ahead and talk about the rest of what we thought about this game and what we can learn about it.
I like seeing Svi. He was aggressive early, and you know he has a lot of really tricky moves, right? And a lot of offbeat moves, and I think sometimes he gets going so fast that, you know, he has some trouble handling the ball. He's an excellent ball handler, but, you know, I saw him consistently be really, really, you know, crafty, and, you know, his points don't really necessarily represent what he was able to do with the game. He only ended up with 3 points, but he was, you know, he finds his way to create openings and to create mismatches. And he swings the ball, he keeps the ball moving, and that's something I really like about him. You know, in the end, he's someone who can impact the game with the hockey assist or a ball fake and get the defensive shift and then move the ball the other way. So even though he only put up 3 points, I still love what I saw from him. I feel like he's a real critical piece for the future for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, looking at how we shot the ball tonight, it wasn't necessarily great. We only hit 8 threes. We shot 34, so we shot 23.5% tonight from three-point land. This is going to be something that we're going to watch for sure. But just looking at the production of what we had between our two centers, which played pretty much the entire game apiece, we had 24 points between those guys. That's really big time for us. We need to be able to have post players be able to play so that when we get healthy and these guys come back from playing or from being injured, that we'll be able to utilize the best of who we have. And looking at who we have and Bradley, Tony Bradley is a great player. And tonight he put up 14 points and 8 rebounds. This is the type of player that we get excited about because he makes our second team way better. Having that center down there that can get the rebounds and do all that other stuff that we need to be able to have down there, and allowing Moses to come up. SGA and Moses have a great connection. This is going to be fun to see when this team gets completely healthy how they all click. But looking at this team and how they played tonight, I definitely look at the centers and the way they played and utilize that as being a massive, awesome job. Definitely highlight that.
You know, I thought Ty Jerome played a really good game. 7 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He's a really creative passer, and he is very, very good at skip passes. So he gets the defense scrambling. So I thought he played really well. And Kenny Williams played great. You know, he led all scorers for us, 18 points. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block shot. You know, his ability to get to the spots he wants and put the defense at a disadvantage so he can get the shots he wants is really creative. It's very, very unique. I love watching him go out there and play. And today we get to see a lot of him, so I appreciate that. I think he's a real critical part in the future for this team, especially if we're going to figure out how to compete when, you know, SGA and Dort and Bazley come back. You know, that's something that increased minutes and productivity from Kenny Williams is going to happen. It's something that we need. And that was great to see for sure. Darius Miller came in and he did a lot in the fourth quarter, a lot like Justin Jackson did the other night. It was nice to see him come in and get some buckets so the players got a little confidence that you know, somebody out there could score, because that was a big question going into that fourth quarter. Tao had a decent game, but it wasn't quite like what he did the other night.
Yeah, you know, Tao really struggled, and that's something that I want to say. But man, I really loved his aggression tonight. He really went to the hole hard still. He still wasn't afraid to take that 3-point shot. And that's something that I want to see him do with confidence every single night. He's proven that he can score. He's proven that he can take this team and throw them on his back. I want to see him keep doing this every day. Maladone is special, and we have to continue to circle him and say, keep doing what you're doing, shoot the ball as much as you want, drive, go hard, try to get the ball to these guys. I mean, the passes that he's making are insane. this is what we need from Teo. So it's really great to see him lead this team right now.
Yeah, and I found this out. I was listening to the Blazers broadcast, and they said that Teo and Poku are the first combination of players under 20 to score at least 20 points in the same game. So that's pretty significant. That's something that, you know, we can't underplay or downplay. We need to make sure that we recognize that, you know, even though, yes, he only had 7 points and Poku only had 8 points, consistency is the final touch of, you know, someone who's going to be great. So the fact that they are able to do it and they have a long ways to go, that shows, you know, that we're in for the long haul and we have the right type of investment on this team. So, and the other guy, obviously, Isaiah Roby, a couple games in a row now where he's been quiet offensively. But what I love about him is the way that he plays in transition and he looks to create mismatches every single time down. I think teams are starting to realize to give him a little bit of a soft closeout, force him to try to shoot that shot and have him make it. You know, he put Vucevic on a poster. He showed the NBA that he has the ability to drive. And so they're looking to take that away first. And from there, they're going to see what he does. So once again, he's going to have to start shooting that three with, you know, as if it's his first option, you know, just catch and shoot. And then to see if the NBA players start closing out on him. Because if the defensive players don't close out on him, then they're going to have he's going to have a tough time getting to the hole, you know, with his dribbles to get to the basket. I like it. I like the fact that he has that mindset, but they've completely sold out on defending the basket with him. So I know he can shoot the three. I know he wants to. And what it brings to me to really realize is having Al Horford there on the bench is, in a deep way, one of the best things that Isaiah Roby could have. Because, like, Al, you can tell sometimes he doesn't want to shoot the three, or he didn't. You know, he would turn and face up and just shoot it, because he knew that it was there. He knew it was the right shot. And he knew the defense wasn't guarding him. And so sometimes it almost, and I could be wrong about this, but it almost looked like he was a reluctant three-point shooter, just that he knew that that was the right shot and he should take it for his defenses and for the offensive flow and everything. And when it went in, obviously, you know, it looked like he was pretty happy. But when he missed it, he looked like, man, he wanted that shot back. So I don't know. Maybe it was just a reaction that I'm misreading with Al, but sometimes it just seemed like he understood the importance of shooting it, even though it was a hard shot to take sometimes. That's what I'm looking for Isaiah here is, will he recognize that taking that shot will create space, even though he's not necessarily feeling confident in hitting it? That confidence will come. I know that it will come. It's something I've seen happen with players, especially in our system. And he's got the mechanics. He's got the ability to knock it down. He's shown that. It's the next step, though, you know, shooting it with confidence before you realize if the defense is closing out in a way that gives you the opportunity to drive is a different level.
Yeah, and Portland did a really good job at recognizing exactly what Isaiah's good at. Every single time he put the ball on the floor, I felt like they attacked him. This is something that he's going to start seeing a lot more because he's proven that when that happens, he doesn't necessarily can take care of the rock at that moment. He is going to work on that. We've seen him have a lot of turnovers in a game before, and he's come back and played amazing. I'm not too worried about that. He is a young player, still learning how to play in the NBA. It is a freaking fast game. It's something that we all understand, and I have a lot of leeway with Isaiah. I feel like he's one of those guys that in the long run, 3 to 5 years from now, I think he could be an all-star. And I think he can continue to improve in a great way. I know that's been saying a lot, but we don't know how the NBA is changing. We can't, you know, predict it in any way. And if Isaiah can continue to get better, I feel like he could be a special player. You know, Moses had a great game tonight. He had 10 points and 14 rebounds, 6 of which were offensive. He just did a really great job on those boards. And you have to say, Portland is one of the best rebounding teams as far as centers go in the league. But Moses really gave him problems all night. He had 23 minutes tonight, but man, every single minute that he was in the game, he was hustling. I felt like he was getting really frustrated about a bunch of stuff, but I love to see that passion in him. He was fouled on a number of times going to the basket. They didn't call it. I saw frustration on him. He would say, you know, get frustrated, but he never directed his frustration towards a ref. And that is something that's great because then you don't get technicals and hurt the team. So I'm really excited about Moses Brown. He seems incredibly intelligent. And for a big man, that's something that's special, is intelligence. And a big man don't always go hand in hand. So it's nice to see that Moses is incredibly intelligent and he's playing post for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I thought Tony Bradley played a really good game. You mentioned him earlier, but he's really finding his flow, his ability to create lanes. He's really big in the pick and roll, so that's going to be great to see. And one other thing I want to mention was Roby got hit in the head pretty hard with an elbow, forearm kind of situation. He went down. They called a flagrant one, I guess is on McCollum, and, you know, he seemed to be fine. Definitely hate to see anybody go down with a head injury, and he was able to talk the staff out of putting him into concussion protocol. But, man, it looked like it was a pretty tough hit.
Yeah, that's something that you see a lot in the game right now. It's something that you don't necessarily like to see, but it's something they're trying to eliminate, is the hits to the head, the unnecessary hits to the head. This is one of those things where Isaiah drove really hard. He went fast. And when that happens, there's going to be limbs and arms and hands and feet everywhere. There's just nothing you can control about it. When you get into the post, and every post will tell you this, is if you ever played post in your life, you know it gets dirty down there. Refs can't always catch every single thing that happens there. It happens very fast. So there's a lot of things that you get away with in the post. So it's always, you know, watching that and watching how Isaiah went to the hole hard. And I like to see them protect the players. I wouldn't want to see this happen to the Blazers if one of their guys drove hard and they caught an elbow to one of our guys. Like, obviously it was unintentional. But to me, it's just something that I like to see the NBA continue to do a good job at protecting the players.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. It wasn't that close of a game, but in the end, the truth is it's just one game. When you look at the standings, you know, we're still only 2.5 games back from the 10 spot. That's something that is impressive, considering that we've not won in the last two games. So that's something that we need to, you know, really keep an eye on. You know, that's something Dave mentioned. You know, what do we think it's going to take to get into that 10 seed? Some of these teams seem like they're collapsing. Some teams have absolutely collapsed. But, you know, some have actually kind of given us a fake. Like, we thought that the Spurs were collapsing and they've shown some life. We thought the Warriors were on their way back and they can't win without them. So I don't know exactly what that magic number is, but I think the 10 seed will probably come down to probably about 33 wins. Probably about 10 more wins for some of these teams, you know, would be enough if they could figure it out. But it might be that, but I'm going to go 33.
Yeah, Mark, I think we're looking at, you know, the magic number for wins right now to be at 33. I would say 33 to 37 to get into that 10 spot. This is going to be something that's going to be ongoing as it's moving. So we could watch a bunch of teams win a bunch of games and that number go up to 40. But I do think that this is going to be between 33 and 37. I think there's still a team in the playoff hunt that's not going to be there very soon. It's going to be interesting to see how teams are able to do that. But the reality is we're watching this team be formed in front of us. The foundation blocks have been laid. We can all recognize that something special is happening here, and we want to be excited about this team. So we're going to continue to cheer for this team. We think that 15, maybe 16 wins, and we could have an opportunity to get into the playoffs, the play-in. You know, that's the only thing that we're looking at, is the opportunity to be close to that play-in spot. We have a lot of teams that are winnable games here, and Mark and I have really circled 10 to 12, even 15 games that we think that are complete winnable games. So there's a lot to see, and we're excited to see as the end of the season comes approaching us, because it's one of those opportunities that we have to watch this team. And I mean, we're Oklahoma City Thunder fans, and we've watched this organization the last couple of years have no chance at all of making the playoffs. And then all of a sudden we make the playoffs. Like, this is something that we get excited about because we get a cheer for this team. So, you know, hopefully you guys can recognize that this is a building opportunity, and we are hoping that you guys can continue to cheer for this team with us and not turn around and say that this is something that's not worth watching, because there's so much happening on this team that's worth watching right now. Thank you for listening to The Last Storm. My name is Dave.
And my name is Mark.
And we will be back here tomorrow to discuss what happened.